For example, a tablet can record the transfer of land between two individuals. But if it is found in a palace, perhaps a king granted land as a reward to a particularly loyal or useful soldier. If it's found in a private home, here we could have a record of a real estate transaction between two individuals. Maybe if there are a bunch of these, we see an ancient Mesopotamian real estate mogul. It could even be a copy of a transaction that was kept by a scribe. So here we would have information about the life of a scribe in a town. And so where a tablet is found is as important as what is contained on it. Clay was also an important building material. Stone was not widely available in Mesopotamia, and so mud brick, which is mud that is strengthened with straw and other types of material, was used to make most building projects, even the most lavish palaces. Stone would be used for the foundation, and above this were built mud brick walls. The bricks were dried in the early summer. As you might imagine, you don't want a lot of rain falling on the bricks that you're making. And then the building itself would be constructed in the late summer. So that was not only the time when there was least likely to be rain that might undermine the structural security of the building, but also when the workers would have finished harvesting their crops and they would be available to contribute this labor for a building project. The mud brick would be plastered and it would be roofed to protect it from any water damage. And when it was properly maintained, a building could last many years. If it was damaged or somehow there was a need to increase the size of the building, it's cheap enough to dismantle and make a larger one. It is estimated that it took 2.5 laborer days to make and lay about 3 feet of mud brick. So this gives us some idea of the labor involved, and I'll give you some examples shortly. One difficulty for archaeologists in Iraq is that it can be somewhat challenging to identify different chronological strata because buildings made of mud brick are torn down so easily, and also because they're made of clay. So if you're looking for a change in soil color and everything is made of mud, you have to develop a very practiced eye. One final aspect of mud brick is the shape of this building material. In the early 4th millennium, the mud brick was made of rectangular planes, very regular forms that would allow a firm, solid surface. In the 3rd millennium, a different style of mud brick was used that was slightly convex. It made it harder to create a straight course in a wall and to make that wall plain. So why would they develop this different style of mud brick? This is the time when there are a lot of buildings going up all at once. The idea of the city is expanding, temples are expanding, all of the structures are getting bigger. So it is easier for someone who's not a skilled laborer to use these smaller convex bricks and just fill in the gaps with mortar or rubble. And it may be that this is evidence for an ancient building boom when a lot of unskilled laborers were put to use on a specific project. This style of mud brick only lasts for the 3rd millennium. Even if we accept this idea of why the building project was, why this building style was used during a building boom, it's a little more difficult to understand why they stopped doing this and reverted back to the rectangular mud brick. But it is an interesting insight, and it shows us that we need to excavate very carefully as we go through these large tells. We'll move from clay to stone, which, even though it is not abundant in the region, is another important artifact for archaeological interpretation. Because stone isn't routinely used for much of the period that we are discussing, when we do see stone buildings or sculpture, it immediately conveys to us that this is a lavish, costly, and expensive monument.